Hi, welcome back to Bit by Bit, here for another coffee break. And today we are talking about being a completionist. So we're going through, are we completionists? Have we ever gone 100% on a game? And if you do go 100%, are games obligated to give you something in terms of, you know, like extra story, a special cutscene, unlocking things, anything like that? So I'll start it off. As far as am I a completionist, the short answer is no, but there are certain games that I'm not a completionist in the traditional sense. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, just to lay ground rules on it, I would say a completionist is when you reach 100% on a game and or unlock all the achievements. I know some people do completionism via the achievements. I'm not sure if that is ever separate from the percentage score on games. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm not a traditional completionist because I don't do either of those typically. But one thing I do partake in is I'll like make my own rules for what being a completionist mm-hmm. is. So an example of that I mentioned on this channel before is with like Yoshi's Woolly World. Like I'm not gonna 100% that game, but I do want to get all the like smiley face flowers. There are like I think 5 in each level. So that's what I'm gonna do. Like there's also yarns and like stamps and stickers and whatever. I'm not gonna do any of that. I'm just gonna get the flowers. I'm trying to think of another game where I had like similar things like that. Or like sometimes I'll just pursue extra things in the game that I don't necessarily need to be pursuing. Like for instance, with Gone Home, I like played through all the commentary mode and I like really wanted all of the, there's like an achievement you get for finding all of the like audio files in the commentary mode. So like the way they're, I don't know how game commentary normally goes, but the way theirs went is like you walk around the house and there'll be, like, little icons with, like, the audio file from the developer. Oh. And then they'll tell you something about kind of the area you're in. Like, here we were, you know, a lot of people comment on how well-timed the game is. But actually, it's all randomly happening, like the thunder strikes and everything. It just so happens that a lot of players, blah, blah, blah. Or here we, you know, decide to make this design choice. Or this is how we did this puzzle or whatever. So I'll kind of pick and choose with that. So I'll just... For starting on the completionist question, that's my basic answer for that one.
Yeah, okay. You know, I do a similar thing. I guess I'm probably, like historically speaking, like in my lifetime, I'm probably less of a completionist than mm-hmm. you, even though you already admitted that you're not that much of a completionist. Yeah. Well, only partly because I never finished games. So that's why it's one of my New Year's resolutions is, you know, 2017 to finish every game I start. And I've got a little list of when I started. And I've already started like 3 games that I've like gone on to something else for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I have to come back.
What are the 3 games? Possible.
The Witcher 3. But it's because I was like unable to play it for like a week and I kind of got out of it. And then I was playing a different game. The Evil Within, because mm-hmm. I hate it.
Right.
But yeah. I will finish it. And technically, I'm still working on Story of Seasons, although that one's a little iffier because it's sort of just like this goes on forever. So
right.
For me, what I think of as finishing it is I get married and I've been through at least 1 year of the game. Like then mm-hmm. I could keep playing if I want, but I don't have to. So technically, I'm not done with Story of Seasons yet. And obviously right now I'm working on Mass Effect Andromeda, but I'm not done with it yet. But that's all I'm playing. Like I'm not focus mm-hmm. on the other stuff, so I'm going to play this one until I beat it, and that's not going to be a problem, because, you know, whatever. But actually, even when I played the original Mass Effect series, when I first got it, I loved it so much, but it took me, like, 5 playthroughs to beat the first one, and this is a little different than me being bored with something, moving on to something else. It's just I wanted it to be perfect, so I'd start the game over, and I'd do a new character, and I'd be like, okay, this time it's going to be amazing, and then I'd go through the whole thing, and I'd be, like, 80% through, and I'm like, no, it's not right. And I'd go back and I'd restart.
Oh my God.
And then I eventually got to the second game, started having it all over again. I was like, now I gotta go all the way back to Mass Effect 1, play that character.
Really?
Yes. Because I'm an insane person. And I've gotten better at it. But that's what my whole childhood was like. I did it with all my RPG games, with Skyrim, Oblivion, everything like that. Most games that I love, I've never beat. And I know it makes me feel like a bad gamer. But like,
yeah. We have a conversation on that as well.
Yeah, like what makes you like a bad gamer. Yeah.
Or just the unfinished game.
Yeah, definitely. So I won't go too much into it because it's a little bit of a, you know, like a sidestep to this question. But mm-hmm. because of that, I feel like it's very hard for me to be a completionist because mm-hmm. I don't even complete the main plot.
Yeah.
So like, how can I be doing, you know, all this extra stuff? But I have done 100% on a game before and I was really proud of myself. I set this challenge knowing what kind of person that I am and I beat it and it made me happy. It was Ori and the Blind Forest. I got
100%.
I got literally everything you could get in Ori and I meticulously did it. It's because I had watched Catherine play it, our mutual friend Catherine, play it like 80 million times because she loves Ori. And she always gets 100%. I was like, I can't just play it once and not get 100%. Catherine gets 100% every single time. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun, and I felt good about it. And I think since doing that, it was maybe a year ago almost, maybe more like 8 or 9 months ago that I did that, I've been feeling more like, mm-hmm. that was a good feeling, and I want to pursue it more. So yeah. I'm trying to be more of a completionist. But I do set my own, you know, little goals, like you uh-huh. do, like even in Mass Effect. There's some things that I just don't care about as far as, like, completionist runs
right.
go. I'm like, well, you know, I don't really... really, really want to completely kill, you know, like if I want a planet and I come across a Ket base, and Ket are like the enemy alien in mm-hmm. this universe, you know, they're everywhere, and I'm like, ugh, I'm gonna kill you, and there's not even gonna be anything here for me to pick up, and like, you're just gonna be around the corner again, because you're everywhere. I'm like, so I'm, you know, sometimes I'll be driving, and one of your teammates will be like, oh, there's a Ket base there, we should clear it out, and I'm like, nope, and I keep driving, you know, so I'm not doing that. But I do try to do every quest that comes up in Mass Effect mm-hmm. one way or another, even if it's a quest, but I'm like, I'm not doing that. I try to follow it through to the point where I can say, I'm not doing that, you know, uh-huh. to the characters. And even the small quests, even like, oh, we need you to go mine these rocks on 50 different planets. And I'm like, okay, sure. You know, I don't mind doing that. I mean, in the small little quests, but yeah, so that's where I'm at. It's a little bit long-winded, went kind of winded down a different path. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I feel like... too, there's also this issue sometimes of, like, I guess the simple answer is, like, a game is 100% completed when there's nothing left to do in it, but, you know, with achievements and percentages and all that. But then I also feel like if it's a game where, so I had this issue with, like, the recent Mario games of, like, Super Mario 3D World and 3D Land. So when you beat the campaign, the secret worlds open up. Is that part of it? Like, yes, but also, whatever. So that's also a little weird, too, when extra things open up.
Oh, yeah, it's like Super Meat Boy. I never finished all the extra levels of Super Meat Boy, but I would still say I beat Super Meat Boy, because I did.
Yeah.
I beat the full campaign.
I did beat it. I think that counts as beating it. I think for completionisting it, probably not, but whatever. Or with Super Mario 3D Land, that was not necessarily frustrating for me, because it's fine. Like, I feel like I completionisted that game, you know? Mm-hmm. However you say that word, completionisted. Because I got, like, there's 3 star coins in every level, mm-hmm. and I got all the star coins. Some of them really hard to find. I did it all without using a guide. That was a big moment for me in my gaming life.
Because
I love guides. I got hooked on guides once the internet came out, and I'm like, this is so accessible. You can just type it in, you can YouTube it, you can figure it out, and you can move on with your life. And it was great. So I did it all without guides, or without any hints. I could have gotten hints from friends, but I didn't do that either. And when you do all that, then, like, there's another thing you could do in the game where if you do all that again, but with Luigi, like, another level opens up. And then if you do, I think, all the levels and get, I don't know what the phrase for this is, but you know how in Mario games when you get to the end of the level, you jump on the flagpole?
And you need to.
And to get to the top is, like, when you get it, like, perfect, basically. So you need to get all perfect on all the flagpoles.
Seems excessive.
It's, like, just too much. It's too much. So I didn't do that. I refused to do that. It's just too much. Why is that a thing?
I think that actually it's an often under-talked about aspect of a well-designed game is how mm-hmm. completionist stuff works. Like to bring up Ori again, which I think is actually one of the best balanced games I've ever played,
uh-huh.
Ori in the Blind Forest. One of the reasons why it was so easy for me to, like, commit to doing this and, like, it felt good to, like, do a completionist run mm-hmm. of Ori was because it doesn't make it too hard for you to do it, but it's still challenging. It's not, like, easy to do, but it doesn't make it, like, impossible, or it doesn't make it seem stupid hard. You know, it's like, why? Why do I have to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're ever at that point as a gamer, like, why on earth would I have to do this? I don't think that's a good moment for the game.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it's one thing when, like, gamers make their own crazy challenges outside of, like, the game's intention. You know, like, oh, I'm going to speed run this, and when it's like... The game maker has never intended this. They didn't ask you to do that, you know, whatever. It's great that you're doing it, but it's not like they were like, oh, do this, and you'll get a reward, you know. It's like, you did that of your own volition, and I think that's fine. But when the game asks you to do something ridiculous, mm-hmm. I get annoyed. And Ori never does that. And it makes it sort of worthwhile for you to go around and get everything and unlock all your different powers. And you know, get the full narrative and sort of feel like you've done a good job exploring everything in the game. And it doesn't take too long. It doesn't feel too tedious. You know, the game is still rich. It's still new as you're playing
it. So what do you need, for those who might be watching or listening and aren't familiar with Ori, what do you need to do to, like, get a completionist run on that? Like, what does that mean for that game?
So there's a lot of areas in the map that are sort of hidden. So basically what that's going to involve is, first of all, that you've seen everything in the map. And there's little secret areas where, like, you don't know their secret area until you, like, it's like a platform 9 3/4 deal where you're like, I'm going to run into this tree. And you're like, oh, there's an area behind this tree.
Yes.
It's like phases out, you know?
That's a really good way to phrase that. I like that a lot.
And so there'll be things back there, and you have to collect these, my terminology is not great with this kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't know what these things are actually called. But there's like these little orbs that you get, like there's blue orbs and like, you know, experience orbs or whatever. And so when you get these different orbs, they unlock, like you can unlock more abilities that you can gain as Ori. So I'm like, oh, now I can double jump. Now I can, you know,
yeah,
like, do
so
this thing.
It has that model of, cause I also played this, that the ability tree model.
Yes.
I think there's also other, there's other phrases for that as well, but where you can, you know, boost your stuff. I mean, lots of games have that. Like, even Fallout has that.
Yeah, exactly. It's very common, and Ori does that really well, actually. And you can also pick up stuff that sort of makes your health bigger and, like, makes it so, you know, you have more, like, little save things.
It is a really good game.
It's a really good game. I'm like, I kind of want to play it again.
Yeah, it's so, it's really
it's
good.
So it's relaxing. Fun. Yeah, it's such a good game, and realistically, it's plausible that you can completion it's run it, so you should do it if you haven't done it already. But you got to get all those orbs, you got to get all the map pieces, you got to get literally collect everything that you need to get. But it's all organized very nicely, and it's not an excessive challenge.
Yeah, the backtracking doesn't seem like crazy. Is there fast travel in Ori?
Light fast travel to specific locations.
Okay, I think I didn't even know that when I played it, so I don't think I ever used it. And it was fine. I don't know if I did a completionist run of it, but I do know. For a fact, I maxed out all my abilities because, and I did it before I hit the final boss because I just wanted to be super maxed out on everything. But in addition to doing that for the boss, which, I mean, isn't the bosses are not, like, challenging. The challenge from Ori for me comes from, like, the platforming, which is really tightly designed. And some of the, in the later stages of the game, like, some of the things they, like, pull on you are really fascinating in their challenge. Like, they have, like, the reverse gravity thing going on where you're like side, you know, like the part where you're like sideways and you have to jump.
Yeah, I love that.
It's almost opposite. It's very, kind of reminds me of like that old school gaming challenge of like, I know one of the old Donkey Kong levels, all the controls are backwards.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so it kind of reminds me of that, but a little less frustrating, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so
that's a good one.
What for you is something that feels like, oh, okay, if I do a completionist run, I get this. What makes that feel worthwhile to you? Like, what's a good reward for you?
For me, I honestly don't really need a reward from the game, I don't think. I'm trying to remember. So, like, one game I completionist, I've done it before, and I will be doing it again soon, is getting all of the stars in Super Mario 64. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if you get anything for that. I should have looked it up before. But I don't think you get anything. I think it's just like you did it. And that's fine. I think there is a little bit of an emptiness when that happens. Only because, like, for instance, with Ori, the nice thing about that is when you get all this stuff, that is its own reward. Because now you're really powerful, and now you know where everything is. And that is its own reward. And that's how the game's designed. With something like collecting, like, stars.
It doesn't really give you a boost.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. It's just like...
You just have them.
You just check it off your list. And I think to kind of go back to our a topic that kind of has come out of this conversation, which is like what makes it feel like rewarding and good to completion of something, I think part of it is like some type of... When it feels like true to the narrative of the game. Mm-hmm. Like this makes sense. Like my character would want to do this kind of almost because it would help in our adventuring and in our journey and in our understanding of the worlds we exist in. When like Mario getting all like the stars doesn't really... I don't remember doing anything. Maybe it does. But like for a good example of a time when I think it's not satisfying, and I know this from watching some Call Me Johnny's YouTube videos on it. But for Super Mario Sunshine, if you get all of the shine sprites, and there's like a lot of them. There's more than I think in Mario, and they're Mario 64, and so they're pretty hard because some parts of the game aren't that well designed. Like a few parts are like this is bad. And those parts make it really hard to get what you need to get because you're like, you know, you're like blind at some points and it's not well designed for certain areas to get their shine sprites. And if you get all of them, you just get like an image of, like, all the characters, and it says, like, have a nice vacation, or something of that sort.
That's not worth it.
And, yeah, and it's, like, it's annoying. I feel like at that point, you should almost give you nothing. It's, like, a slap in the face. Another time I felt like I was slapped in the face with completion missing a game. This didn't happen to me directly, and it was when we were much older, so it was fine, is, it's funny, like, all platformers are the goddamn same, because you collect stuff, so in Jack 1, when you get all the power cells, spoilers for the end of Jack 1, if you haven't played it and want to play it. If you get all the power, it you like put them in this big old ancient door, mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, what's gonna happen? And they're like, oh, the precursors and all. It's Kira's voice. It's me trying to be Kira. And then it cuts to the you can see the characters' faces, and they're all like, oh my god, wow. Is that what I think it is? That's
you
amazing.
See it?
No, you don't see it. The game ends after that.
No.
And it actually ends up being a teaser for Jack 2, which you'll understand if you play Jack 2, because it starts off with them working with, like, an ancient artifact that you, like, theoretically somewhat sort of unlocked in the first game. So, like, that narrative tie is nice. But it was, like, I don't know the years. I should, because it's my favorite series. But it was years and years until Jack 2 came out. I don't even know if the developers really knew for sure Jack 2 would come out. Like,
see,
you
but
know?
That's why you gotta be careful, because then you have the whole Half-Life yeah. issue, where, like, now, I have Half-Life. Actually, I, like, got it randomly, like, for Christmas one year for my brother, and mm-hmm. I don't think he knew that it was supposed to be, like, this really, you know, big, important game,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know either. I was like, oh, this is fun, I guess, you know, and I kind of played it for a little bit, and then I left it alone, and I was a lot younger when
yeah.
I got it, so I didn't know it was Half-Life, too, you know, I didn't know. But apparently, it ends on this huge cliffhanger. The next game just never came out.
Yeah,
like,
so it's like the ultimate unfinished game when the developer
yeah.
doesn't finish the game either.
Exactly.
But yeah, so the reason that's dissatisfying is because it mocks you. Like mm-hmm. You earn something that you can't see.
It's like, oh, sucker, you know?
Yeah, it gives you a cliffhanger. I don't know if anyone's ever in the history of media wanted a cliffhanger, you know? Like, I mean, we accept them in our lives because sometimes they work really well, especially if it's, like, especially if it's not that, like, big of a deal. So, this is not about games, but quick spoilers if you haven't watched Stranger Things. So, skip ahead, like, 30 seconds if you haven't watched Stranger Things.
So good.
But and I'll try to still be vague about it in case you don't want to have to skip, but, like, it doesn't end on a cliffhanger, but it ends letting you know that, like, peace is not completely restored.
Right.
There is still
kind of
eerie darkness around, which isn't really a big spoiler because that's kind of how those stories work. But, like, that's like, kind of a half step of that where it's like, oh, it's, like, teasing something more, but, like, it's not, like, ruining what just happened. It's not undoing what just happened.
But it still gives you closure on
right,
the
right,
things
exactly.
that are happening in
right.
the series.
It's closure with a hint of curiosity, and that's what you want out of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, not just,
and that
like,
was just curiosity.
Not just frustration.
And frustration,
you know?
Yeah. Which, the nice thing about that, though, is my brother did the 100% on that when he was, like, a grown adult. So, you know, he was 28 or 27 or whatever when he did that. It was, like, a year or two ago. And that was fine. He was almost at all of the power cells anyway. And he's like, let me get the last couple because I'm already basically there. And he's like, I feel so bad for, like, the little kid who works so... Because when you're a kid, you're not good at games, usually. Like, you're... Just because, literally, motor skills-wise, you might not have it. Or if you haven't played a lot of games, you know. Like, games were a lot harder as a kid because I didn't have all these years of gaming, you know. That's just, like, a common thing for kids. Like, that's why it'll be generally harder. So, like, I feel bad for, like, you know, the kid who worked so hard trying to get all this stuff and then finally got something and got this. So, yeah, what about you? Do you feel like games are obligated to give you something? I guess my closing statement on that is... No, but they need to be thoughtful in what they give you, and it should be, like, taking into account the narrative in terms of, like, do I get something, do I not get something, and if I get something, it should be good. I shouldn't be dissatisfied with it.
Right.
It's almost like to an extent, I wouldn't say this is necessarily true, but, like, I'd rather just, like, I guess not have, like, a gift than be given, like, a crummy gift that I have to just, like, live with. You know, I don't know. It's kind
exactly.
of like, that's not the best metaphor for it because, like, you know, there's other things tied to that. But that's kind of my general feelings towards it.
I guess for me, as far as that goes, I feel like the reward needs to be more, like, from, like, I don't know, it needs to be more internal, you know, not
uh-huh.
sort of, like, it's hard to do this for a game, I understand.
Like, intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, part of it might be that if you create a good enough challenge, the completion of that challenge feels rewarding as
yes.
a gamer. But if it's like, I got all the stars, that doesn't, it's like, it's a little different. It's like, yeah, okay, I found it and it was hard to find, it was hard to get to. I feel like that's different than like, like, okay, I did this thing that required me to like engage with, you know, the song on a deeper level and like whatever, like that feels better. Like, and this is another example of taking a challenge into your own hands that a game didn't really create for you. Mm-hmm. Like, not exactly, but one of the reasons why, like, me and my brother both do so many, like, oh, we're going to do this one with one life, or, oh, we're going to, you know, try to do this on the hardest mode with these factors, is because it's rewarding to have that challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, so if we play Left 4 Dead, and this is something we still haven't finished because we only do it when I'm, you know, when I'm in town or, like, back home or whatever, and we both have time, but we've been trying for forever to beat the Left 4 Dead, all of it, all the levels in the hardest mode,
mm-hmm.
Which is very difficult. And even though the game didn't ask us to do that, like, when you do it, like, when you beat the level, you're just like, oh, my God, I feel amazing, you know? So that, like, being able to feel like that adrenaline or that, like, sense of accomplishment, that's enough reward for me. And I think that can be built into games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it often is. I feel like when it's just, like, little collectibles, like, that's not worthwhile to me, and I just skip it because I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
And usually I assume you're not going to reward me. And as far as things that are sort of like extrinsic rewards, I'm not saying that they can't be good, but I feel like there's a lot of examples of ones that aren't good, like the ones that you just, you know, explain. I'm like, well, there's a lot of like negative stuff here, or even things where, I guess even if you like unlock something and you get this extra part of the narrative, for me that's not usually worth it because we have the internet. So if I want to know
True.
What happens
mm,
with the
that's
narrative,
a good point.
I'm like, what happens when you unlock blah blah blah? It's all great.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's,
you know?
That's actually literally what I did with Inside because. They have, like, a completionist factor of Inside, which is a game I love. I love that game. One of my favorites ever, I think. And it's, like, once again, kind of finding a thing. You like, figure out what it even is.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, a little orb type thing. And if you find them all, then you unlock the secret ending. I just watched the secret ending. I'm not going to go back for that.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like maybe that would have been really, really cool. You know, back when the internet was less accessible and there was less people sort of engaging with
yeah.
video games on the internet. And I'm sorry, you know, we ruined it for everyone. Like, I feel a little bad that that happened, but you have to adjust with the times, you know? So I feel like that's not a good enough reward.
Yeah.
I think if it, like, if I'm getting really complex here into what I want,
yes.
if it was, like, a narrative reward, if I think of games like Mass Effect or like games that have more of a narrative push, if I could do something in that game that gave me more options down the line,
mm-hmm.
that felt more like a completionist factor, that would be fine with me. And sometimes that can happen. Like, in Life is Strange, if you, you know, there's a lot of things that you don't have to do in Life is Strange.
Yeah.
You can go around, you water your plants, you read stuff or whatever. And I definitely feel like having talked to you and having talked to Catherine, who also played a little bit of it, that there's moments where you're like, okay, and these are my options. And I was like, why didn't you have this option? And I think it's because sometimes if you read something extra or you find something extra, it gives you more dialogue options. And that can change the course of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like that's worthwhile. I'm like, okay, I want to be prepared, you know, because then
right.
she's up here on this roof and I need to get her down, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's
I
a good
was,
point.
You know, I think I was able to do that. But then when I was watching Catherine do it, I was like, she's like, what did you pick? And I'm like, wasn't on here, you know, and so
yeah.
she's like, what do I do?
I think you read a birthday card she got from her parents.
I think
I'm
so.
Sure.
Yeah, and so then I had this information
yeah.
available, and they're like, oh, this one, you know, and I'm like, okay, and it was like a different color, too, so I'm like, it's probably that one. Don't nod.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was for the developer, yeah.
So I think that that could be worthwhile because it makes me feel like I have more agency in the story.
That is nice, yeah.
yeah.
That's a
but
really
it's
good
very
example.
Rare for that to happen. I mean, in Mass Effect, yeah, maybe it can happen if you do one thing, it leads to different routes, but I feel like Mass Effect also kind of usually lets you engage with all parts of the narrative anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
like, well, even if you miss this, like, we're going to give you a chance to get back into the narrative. I'm like, don't do that, you know? I want to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also not really a completionist thing. It's like, oh, if you chose this now, then you can choose this later. So it doesn't feel the same as Life is Strange, where you're going the extra miles and stuff you don't have to do in order to, like, open up your options later.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good example.
So.
All right, I think that's a good place to end it on. I like that we got to that, because I think that, at least for me, and obviously you brought it up, but that really is the core of it feeling like it's part intrinsic. I think that's key. And then also, like you said, that it's, like, it makes sense with the story and, like, it enriches the game experience
mm-hmm.
in some way and, like, fits with the lore in a way that's a little bit less shallow than just, like, collecting a bunch of things, I think. Though I think with platforming, I think the nice thing with the completionist aspect of it is the challenge in the platforming. And the only reason that I drag Mario 3D Land for that is it just... it goes too far with it. They, like, want you to max out everything. And I'm like, this is just excessive. Like, the game is over. The game is over.
Yeah, I feel like that's boring. Like,
yeah.
I have other things to do.
Right, right. I'm like, I'm not gonna, like, what have we proven here? This is just, yeah, a little excessive.
One thing, actually, I'll make one last note on that, because I think that's sort of in the style of Mario games, even though I'm not a Mario expert. You know that I haven't played as much as a lot of people, who are as into video games as I am. I think it's partly, though, because Mario games used to be like that. You know, there's this level of, like, challenge, things that you have to get or whatever. And that made sense because people didn't have a lot of different video games. Now I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, I finished this, I've got 8 more games on my to-do list, you know, like, I don't have time to do this. But back then, you're like, this is my Mario game, you know, and you need to have more to engage with after
that. Oh, I just realized, it's funny because I'm like, oh, we can kind of wrap up here, but I have another extra thing to add on to this. I have a question. How do you feel about achievements and trophies? So that's one. Mm-hmm. And then my follow-up question is, because this is a conversation that has been happening in the gaming community, definitely as of recently and probably has been going on for some time, do you want Nintendo to add their own version of achievements and trophies? Why or why not?
So you mean like with Xbox where it goes, bloop, and it gets achievement unlocked?
And then for Sony, it's trophy. I hate Sony. It's like the little trophy, and it has it on the top corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't. Last time I had a Sony console, that did not have trophies.
No, which console was it?
PS2.
Okay, that makes sense. The PS3 did have it. It stole it after 360 came out with it, like 2 weeks later. but it's funny because I never noticed it on PS3. I never noticed it. Maybe I never did anything. I don't know. But what are your feelings on achievements and trophies? Because that's a big thing in the gaming community.
You know, I think it really matters how I feel like different games handle that. That very differently, you know, like, they all have access to this idea of, like, achievements or whatever, but they all handle it very differently. I'm trying to think of games that I've liked a lot. I feel like, usually when I enjoy achievements the most is when it's sort of funny, you know, like, like, when I'm, like, going through something, and I'm, like, did something, and then I get a little achievement, and I'm like, oh, I stepped on someone's head 50 times in this game, you know, like,
right.
So, that's fun for me, and they usually have, like, funny little titles, and I'm like, whoever's job it is to make up these achievements,
I know,
like,
it's so
your,
good.
Like, life is the best, like, that's great, I'm so happy for you that you get to do this, but,
they probably have to do, like, 20 other things.
Right, exactly, you know,
but
it's not
in our minds, it's a lot more romanticized.
You just desk, and you make these achievements. I want that job. It doesn't exist, but I want it. But then other than that, I feel like even recently, I got an achievement for, I was playing Mass Effect Andromeda, because that's all I've been doing lately, and I get this achievement, and it was basically something like, you know, I don't remember what the achievement was called, but it goes bing, and it's like, okay, you know, complete, you know, this choice on either, you know, Havara or on Bold, or whatever the names of the planets were. I don't even know if I'm getting those right. And I was like, so, I mean, it's not even like it was specified to, like, my path. It was like, do this thing or this thing. And I was like, thanks for this achievement. It's like, I have to do one of those things in the plot of this game. I don't like it when it's like, you did this major plot point. I'm like, I know. I just watched it happen. You know, like, I just completed it. I don't understand.
I think I don't mind those ones that much. Because those can be cute as well. It's like, and it kind of makes, it's a kind of a reminder of, which maybe some people don't like. I don't know. Let us know in the comments or on Twitter or anything how you guys feel. I don't know if it takes people out of the game at all. Because it just reminds you of playing a game, you know? Like, when we were playing Resident Evil, when we marathoned it, it'd be like, bing, and it's like, okay, we're in a game. Like, it's clearly a game. But I don't mind the plot point ones. I think they can be kind of cute, and they kind of remind you that you're, like, moving along this thing. I also love achievements the most when they're, like, cutesy and weird, and, like, when it feels like, oh, not only I could do it, but, like,
you're talking to me.
Yeah, oh, my God, he looked right, he waved at me. Like, it's, like, no waves at the crowd. It's, like, you're in the crowd. I'm, like, don't take this away from me. Yeah, like, one of my favorite achievements ever was, and a quick thing, the reason I like Xbox achievements more than PlayStation trophies is it's the aesthetic. And that's why I like Xbox more than Sony at this point in my life, which was not my life up until, like, this gen. But I just like the sound and the little thing, and it's just, yeah, it's great. I love it. The green, it feels awesome to watch it pop up. I think I just don't like where it's placed with Sony. It's, like, in the corner. And it's, like, it looks cheap. Like, it's great, it's tiny, it has this little whack trophy, like the achievement logo, like, everyone, that's, like, it's still a trophy, but it's, like, designed in a gamified way, and it, like, just works for me. But my favorite achievement was, I got, like, one of them is I was playing Mortal Kombat with my brother, Mortal Kombat X, and I am not good at Mortal Kombat at all, and neither is he, and we just first got it. We didn't know any of the combos or anything like that, and we were trying to fight each other, and we just kept trying to, like, jump over the other one, and we were just jumping around, and we got an achievement that said, boom, jumping bean. It said, like, jump, like, this many times, either in the game or in a match. I forgot which one it was.
Oh, that's cute.
And we're like, and it was funny, because, like, at the time, we were having a conversation about how this, like, this looks so dumb, like, we look how bad we are at this game.
The game's like, yeah, you do look
dumb. Yeah, they're like, bing, and then it was great. To Sony's credit, because there are still some good and nice trophies on there, me and my brother were running through Uncharted, and he jumped in the swimming pool, a swimming pool that, you know, you don't have to jump into just to, like, be goofy, and then they were, it was, like, I don't know what sound it makes. See, there's no branding here. Okay. and the little trophy popped up, and it said, like, Marco Polo, and it was, and then he yelled at Marco, and then it's cute, because, you know, it's, like, an adventure game, so, with exploration, so that was really well done and nice. And yeah, it feels good when you do something to, like, mess with the game, and the game is like, we knew someone would do this.
You feel like you're interacting with the designers in some way. Yeah. Or, like, you're interacting with the game. You're having this conversation with them. Yeah. And someone being like, you did the thing. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah, and I think that I am not really for chasing achievements and trophies, just because I feel like that can get, like, weirdly obsessive really quick. Not to judge anyone that does it. If that's how you fulfill yourself with your gaming, that's great. And I think the nice thing about trophies and achievements is it's clear. You can, like, see the names and stuff in certain ones, I think. Yeah. And you can, like, know which ones, like, you have already. So I think there's something nice to it that adds, like, a structure to being a completionist, because otherwise you might not know that, like, you need to do a certain thing to get, like, the complete game. But yeah, so I think it's a nice little model. Okay, so and then my last question, the Nintendo one. Do you want Nintendo to add an achievement or trophies aspect? So I guess I'll take a shot at this first. I'm thinking no. I don't know. I'm okay with it just not having it. It doesn't feel, for a couple reasons. One, Nintendo's always been the special little different company. Yeah, that's their thing. They're different. And so one, I think they should kind of just stick to that. Just, I guess, not for the sake of being different, because it's not a good enough reason. But they've always done their own thing. So I think not having achievements and trophies is part of that. And then also, I feel like they're because they are going to have more third-party support. So I guess it would kind of suck to, like, not to, you know, if you play a game like, you know, Skyrim or whatever, and it doesn't have that aspect, I guess that could kind of suck for some people. So maybe that's a good enough reason to add it in. But for their IPs, they don't really lend themselves to achievements, I think, as much. I don't know. I just would feel weird to, I guess, maybe because it's new to me, I just would feel weird playing a Mario game, like Super Mario Odyssey, right, is coming out. Or even, like, well, Breath of the Wild, I think, lends itself better. But, like, and then being like, oh, you used, like, use the Fire Flower 20 times. Like, that's just, I don't know, it feels
kind of cheap.
Yeah, it feels like a corporate sellout thing for some reason for Nintendo, I think, because they've never have done it. So to jump on so late, which I know they're always late, so I wouldn't be surprised or necessarily offended. Like,
but
they
there's
did
some
it.
Point in your life, yeah. if you're an hour late for a party, maybe you just decide to not go. Yeah. You know, like, it's already half over. You know, like, I'm just gonna stay home in my pajamas and eat pizza rolls, like, instead.
Yeah, that's Nintendo.
Yeah, that's Nintendo. And that's what I appreciate. Yeah. That. I like that. No, I think I agree. At first I was gonna say I don't care, but then you were talking, and I was like, no, I do care. I think that you're right. I don't think they should do it. It reminds me of, like, how Instagram was like, oh, we're Snapchat too. And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm not using this feature. And then and then recently Facebook now has add to your story. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? I don't want Snapchat on everything I'm doing. I want to have Snapchat. Snapchat did something good. And you guys are like, oh, that means it'll be good on our platform too. No,
I
go
think,
away.
And that's funny because to bring up that example, like, for that example specifically, the reason, well, Facebook eats everything, and they own everything, and they want to buy everything, and if you won't let them buy you, they'll just take you. That's Facebook. They own Instagram. They already technically own it. They're not really competing with it anymore. And then Snapchat didn't sell, like, to Facebook, so they said, okay, we're just gonna take your customers.
Steal your idea.
Yeah, we just took all your stuff. And the reason that is, like, all, you know, a business move, and that makes, I don't like it as a consumer, but it makes sense as a business move, and I think a lot of the gaming stuff is similar. Like,
industry is a business.
Right, exactly. It's about selling stuff and, you know, giving people what they want and being, you know, that's why we have exclusive IPs and stuff, you know, it's all about business. But as a consumer, I don't want that either, you know? So it's interesting.
You have to balance that. You're like, oh, well, we're just going to give them what they want on Facebook. Instead, I'm like, but I don't want it on Facebook. I'm actually annoyed with you now. You know, although to Facebook's credit, a lot of times they do something annoying and I'm like, that's dumb. And then a week later, I'm like, I love this. You know, like the little reaction buttons. I'm like, first I was like, that's stupid. And then I was like, no, they're great. I love these reaction buttons.
They're really good. I do enjoy them. So, So yeah, so then we kind of got off topic. Yeah, what are your feelings for the Nintendo Switch?
So for Nintendo, I feel like, to me, I don't like it when it feels very inorganic for a company to be like, oh, this is working for someone else, and I'm just going to steal it. We were making fun of the PlayStation just a minute ago for being like, oh yeah, you got your trophies right after Xbox got their achievements, and it's not even as good. So I feel like they should just avoid that. Like, just do your own thing. Nintendo has a lot going for them, even right now with the Switch. They're doing something completely new and different and really interesting, and everyone's loving it. Except for me, because I still don't have one.
And a lot of people still don't have one. Hey, wait for those bundles to drop.
Yeah, I'm all about it. But I think that it's clear that they're on a good path. I think it's clear that they're like, we don't want to do everything like everyone else. And they're like, but you'll have to eventually. No, they don't. Here they are. You know, they're doing fine. I think they should just skip the trophies. I don't need them in Nintendo games. Honestly, I don't have a PlayStation. I've only ever associated with Xbox. So
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, guys. Well, thanks for checking this out. Make sure if you're watching on YouTube that you're subscribing to our channel, giving this video a thumbs up. You can follow us on social media. Our Twitter is at
bitbybitgaming.
Thank you. And so is our Instagram.
Yes.
Our Instagram and our Twitter is at bitbybitgaming, and our Facebook's at bitbybitgamers.
It's also on the YouTube page. If you're like, they're being confusing and I don't understand anything, don't freak out.
It's always on here.
Just click the button.
Yeah, which is just youtube.com/bitbybit. Super easy. So yeah, thanks for checking this out, guys. Be sure to either hit us up on social media or tell us in the comments below where you stand on this. Are you a completionist? What games bring the completionist out of you? Have you ever done 100% on a game? Do you feel like you need to get something?
Any challenges for us?
Yeah, challenges you make up, own rules, and how you guys feel about like the achievements and trophies. Do you want to see that on Nintendo? Is it something you're hoping will come to the Switch? Definitely let us know. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks.